the shadowy speculators, unmasking the owners of slave ships. The year is 1780. The air hangs thick and heavy with the scent of salt and something far more sinister. On the bustling docks of Bristol, England, a ship, the Zong, prepares for its grim voyage. Most tales of the transatlantic slave trade focus on the brutal chains, the horrific Middle Passage, and the enslaved Africans themselves. But who owned these floating prisons? Who profited from this agonizing human cargo? While the enslaved bore the unimaginable weight of their bondage, the ships themselves were instruments of commerce, owned and operated by men who, for the most part, lived lives of comfort and influence in Europe. These weren't always anonymous figures. They were merchants, financiers, shipbuilders, and even respected members of society. Consider the case of the White Lion, one of the first ships to bring enslaved Africans to English North America in 1619, landing in Point Comfort, Virginia. The ship was owned by John Rolfe, a prominent colonist and tobacco planter. Though it was initially a privateer involved in illicit trade, not a dedicated slave vessel, its captain, John Martin, was also instrumental in its operations. The Africans on board were initially bartered for provisions, a chilling testament to the early commodification of human lives. As the centuries wore on, the slave trade became a more organized, albeit no less brutal, enterprise. The ownership of slave ships often mirrored the broader economic structures of the time. In Liverpool, a city that grew to immense wealth on the back of the slave trade, prominent families and trading companies invested heavily in slave ships. The descriptions of these vessels in shipping registers often reveal a stark reality. Ships like the Brooks or the Adonis were not just names, they were assets, listed with their tonnage, armament, and crucially, their owners. One such owner was Thomas Leyland, a wealthy merchant and later Lord Mayor of Liverpool, who amassed a fortune through his involvement in the slave trade. His fleet included numerous slave ships, each meticulously outfitted for the barbaric journey. The motivation was, undeniably, profit. Slave ships were highly lucrative investments. The perceived value of enslaved people as labor in the burgeoning colonies of the Americas, particularly for lucrative crops like sugar, tobacco, and cotton, created a constant demand. The owners often sought to maximize profits through various means, including the density of enslaved people they could cram into the ship's holds. This desperate overcrowding, designed to increase the number of units of human property, led to horrific mortality rates, a grim calculation where the potential loss of some enslaved individuals was factored into the overall profit margin. The prime cost of an enslaved person on the African coast might be significantly lower than their selling price in the Americas, with the ship's voyage and its carrying costs representing the investment that yielded immense returns. It's important to note that the concept of ownership was multifaceted. Some merchants owned ships outright, while others invested in them as part of a consortium or joint stock company. Banks and financial institutions, while perhaps not directly owning the ships, provided the capital and loans that facilitated their construction and operation, making them indirect beneficiaries of the trade. While the focus has historically been on the captains and crews who directly managed the voyages, the true architects of this system often resided far from the stench of the slave holds. They were the financiers who signed the bills of sale, the shipwrights who built the vessels, and the insurers who covered the risks. They were individuals whose names appeared in ledgers and legal documents, their wealth built upon the systematic dehumanization and forced migration of millions. Uncovering these names and understanding their motivations is crucial. It's not about assigning blame centuries later, but about a complete and unvarnished understanding of history. The slave trade was a complex economic engine, and at its helm were owners who, through their investments and decisions, fueled one of the most brutal chapters in human history. Their stories, often buried in ledgers and legal archives, deserve to be brought to light, reminding us that the legacy of slavery is woven into the very fabric of global commerce, and that its roots run deep into the pockets of those who profited most.